Well, ladies and gentlemen, right around the country, of course, here we are again. It is the James Whale Radio Show. Roll titles.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Hello again. Welcome to the program. Here we are, the James Whale Radio Show, of course, coming from a radio station or a computer or a tablet or an iPhone or wherever you listen to us from. Nice to have you on the program. And thank you to everybody, by the way. Thank you to everybody that has made this show such a stonking success. Huge ratings have just come in. And we'd like to thank each and every one of you very, very much indeed. Say thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
No. Just say thank you to all. Why are you so stupid?
Well, that's what you told me to say.
Yes, I know, but don't literally say what I tell you to say. Just say, thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
When am I going to get you into showbiz a little more? I mean, you turn up to do the programme in scruffy jeans and an old T-shirt with rock and roll on it. And what's that thing you're wearing on your head?
Headphones.
A bandana. A bandana. Those sort of things went out in the 80s. I mean, you maybe, if you were the boss, if you were Springsteen, you might be able to get away with it, but not Rob. Not Rob. You can't.
Have I got to change my wardrobe just for you?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I really seriously am thinking about it. Anyway, let's thank everybody for listening and tell your friends about us as well. And if you want to help us out with the program, of course, you can. Text us now or not?
Not yet. Next week, I hope.
Next week, we're going to be able to do texts on the show. But we will continue on with some of your thoughts on the program and ways of getting in touch with us. Go to our Facebook page, of course, and you can get in touch with us there. And you can email the show. Very easy to email the show. Rob will tell you the address.
JamesWhaleRadio@gmail.com.
Gmail.com. Why don't we get Gmail to sponsor the show? Just email us and give us your thoughts. Facebook us by going to Facebook, obviously, facebook.com/ the James Whale Radio Show. Now, one of the things we were talking about on Facebook today. Now, if you're listening to us, of course, on a radio, you can still get in touch because we will talk about these on next week's program or whenever. So, if you want to email us or Facebook us or tweet me at the James Whale. Do so, and we'll see what's happening. Now, this is something that Rob has become very upset about, and I don't know why, but there we are. Rob has just found out that the census is to be scrapped. Yes. Now, I have to say, I didn't even know about this.
Didn't you?
No. But it's idiots like you who put down their religion as Jedi that has probably got it scrapped.
No, it wasn't just me. Tens of thousands of people did the same.
Really?
It's a proper religion.
Oh, for goodness sake. You know my thoughts on religion.
Okay.
I'm sure without religion, the world would be a happier, safer place.
Well, me and Master Yoda, we're best of buddies and, you know.
Yeah. And what happens when you and Master Yoda are attacked, if you like, or ridiculed by those believers of Star Trek and the Star Trekkies? Who feel that their religion is the only religion that matters and that their religion should be adhered to by all mankind, start trying to root out the Jedis.
I'm not sure it makes a difference because you've got to remember the Jedi religion is in a galaxy far, far away and I'm only an Earth representative. So whatever happens in the Star Trek universe is their problem, not mine.
You didn't understand the analogy, obviously. You're just trying to be obtuse, aren't you?
Well, at least I'm
How many more long words that you don't understand do you think I can get on the programme?
Can you say Kevlar taxi?
Kevlar taxi?
Yeah.
That's a word. That's actually a description of a taxi driver in Cardiff.
I just thought I'd get him on the show again.
Oh, right. Didn't we miss him out last week?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah? Actually, if you want to mention, just email us at the show and or go to the Facebook page and we'll give you a mention. Now, let's talk about the census because, first of all, in tracing my family back, which I have done, it's quite entertaining. The census is very useful. Why would the government scrap the census? What's going to be in its place? How are people in the future going to be able to look back and not only trace their families, but find out what happened and what society was like, what the trends were? How are they going to be able to do that?
Facebook.
No, seriously.
Facebook.
Yeah, but you don't, you know, you don't have all those questions on Facebook.
Everyone tells everybody about their life history on Facebook.
All right, okay. Well, listen, Dave Graham says he thinks it's a good idea. I haven't really thought about it. I'm thinking about it now. He says, just think how much money could be saved. After all, we need sensible things to act. This is ideal. I suppose he's right, actually. It must cost us, you and me, the great British taxpayer, it must cost us a fortune. I wonder how much it cost to carry out the census, because they employ people to go around and threaten you that you're in trouble if you don't fill it in, don't they?
Didn't that happen to you?
Oh, I can't say that now, having a show on the BBC. I couldn't possibly comment.
Okay.
Mm. I, of course, do everything by the book. I might have forgotten to post it. I'm not sure. Melanie Graham Shariel. I can't read that. What does that say?
I think you're right the first time.
So she worked on the last census, and it's impossible to get an accurate picture. So, yes, it should be scrapped. On the other hand, though, the pay was good. Lots of love, Melanie. Melanie, thank you for that. I bet the pay was good. Karen Bowman says, definitely not no. In years to come, it's a valuable historic document. Just recently, I found family members through documents like this. You see, she's making a point there. Isn't it going to be a valuable historic document?
I think they'll replace it with something else, a bit more simpler. Isn't it like 50 pages long?
Well, it is, and I have never told, not exactly the truth, but, you know, sometimes you don't want people to know about certain aspects of your life, and quite frankly, certain aspects of all our lives has got nothing to do with anyone else, has it?
Nope.
And so, you know, probably it's not a very representative idea. Carol Leslie says, will be a lot harder for people to trace their families. I think everybody's concerned about tracing their families, which is interesting. Russ Kane says, let's ask people what they think about it. Oh, hang on. That's a census. loads of other people as well. Thank you very much. Indeed. We'll come back to some of those in the future. census. Good idea, bad idea. Oh, we'll have another census to work it out. Now, we've got lots of new radio stations taking the programme this week as well. So hi to all of you. WiganFM.com. Epix Radio. Where's Epix Radio?
It's an online radio station.
Okay. 80s Music, Cruise FM, Mersey Radio. Loads and loads of them. TalentGB.com continue to put us out, as do Audio Boo. And if your radio station, if you've got a radio station, small, doesn't matter how big it is, if you'd like to put out the James Whale Radio Show, which can fill an hour of your airtime, this is what you do.
Email the show, jameswellradio@gmail.com.
jameswellradio@gmail.com. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, very good. Good. Now, we're looking for more music on the programme as well. That's the other thing. We play a couple of tracks on the show from new, talented people. And hang on, what was all this aggravation over? A mate of mine asked us if we would play this record to raise money for animal welfare. And apparently we got a lot of stick.
You can't mention sticks and animal welfare, James.
Why not?
That's the whole point of animal welfare, isn't it?
Oh, don't be ridiculous. What was it called? The pet shop... what was it called?
The pet shop boys.
Say again?
The pet shop boys.
Pet shop... It wasn't called the pet shop boys, was it?
It was... I've got the notes here somewhere. Wasn't it talk to the animals?
Yeah. Talk to the animals and they'll talk back. Whatever it was, anyway. Why didn't people like it? It was in aid of a good cause.
We've got another one in the aid of a good cause later.
Have we?
Yeah.
We'll have to stop doing that. It's making us far too nice.
Okay.
Listen, I've got to tell you about my last Saturday. Last Saturday night. You know I went out.
Again.
I don't go out that often, do I? I mean, a man of my age has to go out and hang with the celebrities. And last Saturday, I got a phone call from a very good friend of mine called Joe Ricotta. No jokes about cheese, please.
I don't like cheese.
I love cheese. I love cheese. Now, Joe Ricotta is Sicilian. He has a couple of restaurants. One in Hoddesdon in Hertfordshire, the Clock House. It's called these restaurants are called Nonna's Kitchen, and they're recipes from his grandmother. They're fantastic, fantastic. One's in Leicester Square in London, which is where I went Saturday night. And you saw the pictures, didn't you? You didn't believe where I was going on Saturday.
Well, you said you were going to meet Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Is that how you say it?
That's how you say it, yeah. Well, I didn't say that. And if I had said, well, it would have been a mistake. But I think what happened is what I said to you is I'm going to have an evening with Sly Stallone.
No,
and probably you found it difficult to differentiate in your mind.
That's not true, James. I Googled who you were going to go and see, and I told you it was Sly Stallone.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Maybe I got it wrong. Maybe I got it wrong, but there we are. So anyway, Joe Ricotta put on an evening with Sly Stallone at the London Palladium. Oh, by the way, can I just say to the London Palladium, it was a nice, great night, but this has got nothing to do with that. The seats need to be a little more comfortable in the Palladium.
Okay.
Actually, to be honest, in all the old theatres in London, the seats are pretty rickety now. And I think we need new seats in lots of the old theatres. Maybe I'm picking. I don't know, but maybe I'm picking. Anyway, forget all that. So Sly Stallone, an evening with, interviewed by Jonathan Ross, and that didn't ruin the evening for me either. It was just great. I had no idea how charming Stallone was. Or is, I should say. And how clever. I didn't know that he wrote the Rocky movies. And he writes loads of stuff. Did you know that?
I knew he wrote the Rocky movie, yeah.
Mm. And do you know when he got one of the big film companies to do it, they didn't want him. They offered him... And he was at the time, he was broke, living in one room, and he'd written this great movie, and they wanted it. And they had offered him up to $500,000 for the screenplay, but they didn't want him. And he said, no, I'm not giving it to you. Even though he was tempted, here's a guy living with no money, broke. And he just hung out until they allowed him to do it.
Well, that's a good thing, because I can't imagine anyone else playing Rocky.
No, I can't. But at the time, they couldn't. They said he couldn't talk properly. He's got a slight slur in his speech, which is just, you know, because he's got a slight problem with his jaw or whatever, and people think he's a bit dim, and they didn't think he'd be able to act. But obviously, he's a brilliant actor. I mean, Rambo as well, that was another one of, in a way, he rewrote a lot of that, wrote a lot of it.
First Blood.
Shot a compound bow in that, when compound bows nobody knew about.
Mm.
Just a thought for you. So anyway, you probably saw all the bits I put on Facebook, didn't you?
I did. They look quite good.
Yeah, they did. So there's me hanging out with Stallone, and Mrs. W was getting in the shots all over the place. It was a good night, but I can thoroughly recommend Nonna's Kitchen. And if you go there, in Brewery Road, Hoddesdon in Hertfordshire, or in Panton Street, London, near Leicester Square, say James Whale sent you. And that'll entitle me to a free bowl of pasta next time I go.
Do you get a discount?
Who?
Me? No, the customers, if they say James Whale sent me.
No, they'll just get excellent service.
Oh, okay.
Know. I mean, if you really say, oh, James Whale was talking about you on his radio show, they might say, oh, we'll have a drink on the house. I can't guarantee it, but you never know. Don't forget, by the way, guys, you can get a whole month free movies if you click on Love Film. Go on the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Click on the Love Film banner at the top of the screen. Follow the links, because unless you follow the links and download it, we don't get paid for this. And you don't get the free movies either. So if you do that for us, that will, of course, enable the James Whale Radio Show to carry on.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And a little later, I'm going to tell you how you, and if you're a member of Amazon, how you can get a free copy of my audio autobiography, which Robbo got.
I did.
And then moaned and said, didn't you do any retakes? You made a couple of mistakes. And I had a sleepless night about that criticism.
Yeah, I've listened to it all now. Yeah, it was very good. Actually, I really enjoyed it. I've never read a book in my life, apart from when I was in school. But since school leaving, I've never read a book. But
you've never read a book?
No. Well, I'm the same as you. I can't read and write properly, so I've given it up. You know, never.
Well, I can read properly. Well, obviously demonstrated by the audio version of my book.
That's very true.
But I mean, I didn't use a pen to write the book. I dictated it all.
I think most people do, don't they?
Yeah, well, of course they do. Yeah. And people say, well, that's not really writing. I don't actually understand what the difference is. So you didn't read the book at all. You just listened to me reading it to you.
I've got about 50 copies of your book downstairs.
Yeah, but you give those to people in the competition we're going to do later. You didn't read it, and you just waited for it to come out in audio version of me reading it.
And get it for free.
And you got it for free. And it's like me sitting by your bed at night reading you a nighttime story.
I was in bed.
Yeah, how disgusting. Do you know, that makes me feel quite bleh.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Webb Radio Show.
So, spending our tax money, maybe some of you don't actually think you pay enough tax. Rob doesn't. I mean, I know Rob would like to pay a lot more, wouldn't you, Rob?
I love tax.
Yeah, I know you do, but I don't. And I quite frankly cannot understand. First of all, these guys at Westminster are starting again with the expenses. And so I'm sure we'll be talking about that in a further programme. But what's really annoyed me is the portraits for MPs. I mean, they're charging us now to get their portraits painted.
Do they get to take them home?
I'm not sure what they do with them. I mean, some of your thoughts, and if you want to get in touch, don't forget, you can just email me, you know, jameswellradio@gmail.com or Facebook me on our Facebook page. David Hoy did. He said, value for money. Let's keep the portraits, get rid of the MPs. That's very good value. Be a much quieter Prime Minister's question time, that's for sure. David St. John says, politics equals show business for ugly people with overinflated egos. And Gary Noble says, good for dance practice. I might take actually some of those, if you get some of those photographs, and take them down, down to the archery range. And Andrew Stephen Rose said, Diane Abbott, God forbid, I'd be pretty disgusted with the artist's effort. Did anybody see did you see that, Rob, in the papers? Diane Abbott's portrait. Frightening. Absolutely frightening. Dave Graham, the governments just don't know how to save money, only waste it on pointless ego trips. Colin Watt says, Traitor's Gate needs to be oiled up and working again, in my honest opinion. For what's all of these imbeciles have done to this island and its people? And Steve Sooty said, they could have got a photo at Boots for 72p. Quite right. So just a complete, total, utter waste of money. I don't know what your thoughts are, but as I say before, why not send me an email about it? Tweet me if you want, the James Whale, or you can email jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Now, something free for your delectation. And maybe after that we get a bit of music. What do you think?
I think we should have a bit of music first.
A bit of music first before I tell you how you can get my my book?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Shake Hands Eric, who's been on the programme before.
He has.
And I like Shake Hands Eric. I don't know about you, but I think he's pretty hot. This is called Sweetness Middle Name, and it's available on iTunes.
Unlock the door. Flop your feet across my floor. If you need to know who I would live or die for, it would be you. The day seems long when you can't tell right and wrong. If the power of a song could change it all, my faith in you. You are beautiful, breathless like a flower, shining like a crystal, tender in your power. You are wonderful, fine words to endure. embrace me. I love it when you face me. Sweetness, middle name. Sweetness, sweetness. So crisp and neat. From your hat down to your feet. We pop the shadows if they follow you along that little street. We're coming through. You are beautiful, breathless like a flower, shining like a crystal, tender in your power. You are wonderful, fine words to embrace me. I love it when you face me. Sweetness, middle name. Sweetness, sweetness.
So there we are on the James Whale radio show. Shake Hands, Eric. Sweetness, middle name is the title of that track. Rather, I like that. I think Shake Hands, Eric, just for the name, should be a big star. You can download that on iTunes as well. And if you're in a band or a singer, you've got a CD you would like us to feature on the show, send it in. We'll have a listen. Well, I really want some reggae. I know Kevlar Taxi sent one in, but there must be some more. Soul. Reggae, bit of something like that, surely. So just get in touch. Where do they send it, Rob?
They can send an email to us at jameswellradio@gmail.com and I'll give them the address to send the CDs, or they can just email the MP3s.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, how'd you like a free copy of my book, Like Rob Got? Could we play an excerpt from it on the show maybe next week or not?
Yeah,
whet people's appetite,
mm-hmm.
You know. But when you've got your free copy, you might want to buy a copy, of course, and send it to your friends. I don't know how it works. Or you might want the actual physical book to look at. But now, on a special offer, we are giving away, and it's very simple to do. I'll explain how to do it. We are giving away free the audio version of my book. How long does it run, by the way? It must run a couple of hours, I would have thought.
4 hours.
Hours and hours. You don't have to listen to it all at once. You can listen to it in the car. Rob listened to it all at once because he's my biggest fan.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is what you do. Go to the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Click on the Audible link. All right. Now, by registering with Audible, you get a free book. You have to register with Audible. If you're already registered with Amazon, you're already there. Isn't that right?
That's right. Yeah, just log in with your Amazon account.
So log in with your Amazon account and you can get a free copy. The book is called Almost a Celebrity. You just download it there. It's like a book club. And the first book is absolutely free. The best bit, if you don't want to be a member, you can cancel and you get to keep my book. So my book will cost you nothing. If you are already a member of Amazon, then all you need to do is use your Amazon membership number, and you can download the book and keep it. It won't cost you a thing. Go to the website, jameswellradio.co.uk, and get the book for nothing.
It's a good book.
It's a very good book.
Not that I'm an expert on books, but it's a good book.
And maybe in the weeks to come, we'll do a question and answer on online about the book.
Yeah.
We could do that, couldn't we?
We could do.
We could, yeah, might do that. Now, let's talk a bit about bankers and their bonuses, shall we? Because they're at it again, aren't they? Kevin Ackerman says, we'll never beat the bankers. They'll just bugger off abroad when things get too tough for them and do it somewhere else. Okay. Tim Shepherd says, they're legalised gangsters and even have more of our money since the government bailed them out. And my good friend Stuart St. Paul, movie director of some note, has posted this. He said, there is supposed to be an anti-bullying campaign, but the biggest bullies are those who threaten to wipe us out financially. Are there any bigger bullies than the banks? And I have seen top economists who say we should now let the banks fail. They're only doing better now because they pay less than 1% interest and charge 25% on your overdraft. Then a charge for a letter to tell you they've bounced the payment they've also charged you for after you've got overdrawn. What is the difference between them and Wonga? Wonga seem a lot more honest. It's about time we just said no. Remember the great film, Go to the Window and Shout? I've had enough. I just won't take any more. Thank you, Stuart. Now, I think I might have found somebody who has an answer to all of this. Do you remember the Bank of Dave? Let's talk to my old friend, Dave Fishwick, after this.
The James Whale Radio Show.
Now, Dave Fishwick from the Bank of Dave joins me. Now, I know you're on to another high-pressure meeting, Dave. I won't keep you long. Were you surprised to see that RBS are considering paying their staff bonuses again?
I just can't believe the bonus culture's coming back. I mean, people who rob banks go to prison, but banks who rob people get paid bonuses. How does that work? You know, it's absolutely wrong. What we need to be doing is concentrating on getting money back into the economy, lending to people again. What I want to see is I want to see a community bank in each town and city across the country, serving the community, run by the community to benefit the community, not benefit this bonus culture that has to change.
Why do you think the politicians are not being tougher on the bankers?
To be honest, I don't think it's the politicians' job. I think it comes down to the FCA, the FSA, the powers that be. I mean, government does play a part in this. What I want to see is I want to see stricter regulation. I want to see banks, actually, when they lend money, I want to see lending from locally. I want to see bank managers going back to the old-fashioned type bank manager where he used to sign your passport and come to your christenings and ignore your face-to-face. These banks 300 miles away that make a decision is just absolutely wrong. You know, how can somebody make a decision that's never met you 300 miles away? I mean, and a lot of banks, what they're doing now is they're actually buying credit default swaps. They send it, they're getting the money off Granny. Granny's going in with her hard-earned money and a life savings, and she's handing that over the counter and getting 0.05% of nothing for in interest. They're then taking this money and sending it abroad as credit default swaps, and then the profit from that, they're benefiting massively and paying themselves big bonuses. Now, when it goes wrong, the public bail them out. How does that work?
Do you think, I mean, when you started the Bank of Dave, you put a cat among the pigeons. And I know, because we've spoken before, Dave, that you were hoping other people would follow your business plan. But they haven't really, have they?
Well, what it is it's what I'd like to see. In the UK, there's just over 1,000 large towns and cities across the UK. Now, I'd like to see a community bank in each one of those large towns and cities all lending to 1,000 businesses as we are over the next 18 months. If that happens, you've got 1,000 times 1,000, you've then lent to 1 million businesses, the recession's fixed, the economy's rescued, and we'll all live happily ever after. What we need for that to happen is for the powers that be and government and everybody else to get round the table and work out how do we open those community banks. I'm willing to hand my information over to the government, but what I'm terrified of doing is handing it over to individuals without completely and utterly checking them out, because not everybody is as honest and as ethical as you'd like to think they are. So there is plenty of ethical people out there. I want to see those people running community banks in their community. But first, I need the government to help me turbocharge that. I don't want to have banks of Dave's everywhere. I want it to be Banker James or Banker Philip or whoever, but not me. I can only run, you know, one or two or three at a time. I can't run the country's banks.
Do you make money out of the Bank of Dave?
The Bank of Dave makes a profit. We've just give just over £20,000 away a couple of weeks ago to lots and lots of good causes. If you go on my website, you can see the charities we give to. I don't take a penny. I will never take a penny. The Bank of Dave is much more powerful with me taking absolutely nothing from it. It's much more powerful as a light out there showing how it can be run. I'd like to see the big banks take a leaf out of our book, and I'd like to see them giving some of their profits to the good causes in the local community and keep that community money in the community to benefit the community, which is what ours does. I've just give some money to a young boy, actually, who has a terrible brain cancer at 5 years old, and I helped raise awareness for this, and he's now on his way to America to have that cancer removed. And it's very moving stuff. I really enjoy that side of things, helping raise awareness and giving the money away. And I think if the big banks took some of these huge bonuses and just give a small percentage away, they will be able to see how much of a difference they can really make.
Can somebody who isn't a millionaire start a community bank? You were able to start a community bank, Dave, because you are successful in your own right. Could a businessman who isn't necessarily a multimillionaire, could they start a bank like yours, pay their staff, pay themselves a small amount of money or whatever is fair, and still make a difference to the community?
I think there's enough people out there. It could be a group of ethical and moral people. And the morals and ethics are just as important as the money. So if you get a group of people together that collectively have some money and the ethics and morals and decency is right, that's a big start. But there's a huge amount of paperwork. I'm just going through the system. I should have a full bank licence in the not-too-distant future. We're going through the process. Once I have the full licence, then I'll look at how it can be rolled out, and then I'll start looking at how we can help other people to do the same. We're going through all the hoops. Ours is going to be the only other bank that's opened in 100 years in Britain, and that shows how difficult it really is to open one of these things.
And will people from all over the country be able to come and use the facilities of the Bank of Dave, or just the people who live in your community?
Well, once we get full-blown licence, we've nearly got it. Once we've got the full-blown licence, we'll then look at perhaps expanding across the country. I'd like to be able to help people all over the country, not just in Burnley and Lancashire. But there's only so much you can do. We've got a waiting list just to put money in because we give the best interest rates. But what, just so your listeners understand what we do, we help people achieve 5% interest on the savings. We then lend that money to local people and local businesses who can't borrow from the high street bank through no fault of their own. And then the profit from that, we pay the tiny overheads and we give the difference to charity. That's what we do. And we give tens and tens of thousands away. We've lent millions of pounds out, and it's an awful lot bigger than what people think we are.
And so if you can do it, then why on earth can't the big banks put those small high street banks back into operation? Why can't they go back a few steps?
Well, I think it's all down to going back in history. I mean, the problem is, James, is we need to go back 25, 30 years where the old-fashioned bank manager, then he knows you, he knows your family, he knows what you do, he knows what business you're trying to open, he knows the street you're going to open your cafe on. He's got a very good idea and he can keep his eye on you. You know, that's what we need to get back to. We need to get back to old-fashioned Captain Mannering-style banking because it works.
You see, my grandfather was a bank manager back in the day, back in the 30s and the 40s, for Barclays Bank. And he was like one of the he was in the Welsh Valleys, all right, in Rumney in Wales, in South Wales, fairly poor area. But he was a successful bank manager within that area. People knew him, yeah, as you said. And I don't actually see why the banks, the big banks, any of them, can't open old-fashioned banks. They've got the money, they've got the expertise. They could look round for bank managers, put them into a local area where they become part of the community. And why doesn't the government insist on this?
Well, I think I'm not sure about why the government do what they do, but I can assure you the big banks aren't just as interested in opening community banks because they'd rather send the money abroad buying credit default swaps and stocks and shares because they can make millions on that rather than... just recently, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I approved a loan for a fish and chip shop to open. Now, I understand what the man wants to do. He wants to open a fish and chip shop. They're going to sell steak pudding, chips, peas and gravy with a tea cake to dip in. I know what they're going to do. You know, I understand the business. He's got another chip shop in the town. That's successful. He can't borrow from the big high street banks because they're just not interested. I've lent him the money. He'll open the chip shop. He'll make a success of it. He'll pay me back. That profit will go to charity. It's not rocket science. And if a lad from Burnley who sells buses can do it, then anybody can.
Wait, yes, you sell a lot of buses, though, Dave. Listen, what interest are you charging the guy to open it to borrow the money off you for the fish and chip shop?
Well, what we do is we give 5% to the customer. So we give 5% in interest and we charge 2% or 3% more than the 5%, so the bank makes a profit. And then the profit, we give that 2% or 3% after we've paid the overheads, we give it away. So, you know, we keep it all in a very, very sensible loop. You know, it's not like the payday loans.
And if I was to invest money with you or anybody listening was to offer you, say, come along, here's 500 quid, here's £1,000, what sort of interest would I get back on that money?
You'd get 5%. It's better than anywhere in the country. And that's why we've got French television coming on Wednesday to do a big piece with us, with 8 million viewers. That's why we've been on Al Jazeera with 1.6 billion viewers. We've been on telly all over the world because nobody just understands how simple it really is. And like I said earlier, if a lad from Burnley sells buses can do it, why can't anybody else? And that's what it's all about. It's not rocket science. You've just used some common sense. And the thing about common sense, it's not that common. If you can find some decent, ethical, moral people with a few quid spare, you can own one of these things if you've got the right paperwork. And hopefully, over a period of time, I will be able to roll it out across the country and help other people to do the same.
I know you're busy. Thank you for talking to me, Dave. Listen, perhaps we can talk again in a few weeks. Maybe I can talk you into some advertising on the James Whale Radio Show and keep us going as well. All right, talk to you later. Thanks, Dave. Bye.
Thanks, Al. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Dave Fishwick, with some thoughts on how we could all become bankers. In fact, I thought that, Rob, you and I should open the Bank of Whale.
That's a good idea. Can I borrow some money?
Well, yeah, we've got to get some in first. When we get some money in, then we could start lending it out.
And siphoning it off.
Oh, now, you see, that's the problem. That's why we got into this situation in the first place. Now, listen, did you know that this show and all the others we've done are on iTunes? Did you know that?
I knew that. Did you?
You knew that. I knew that, yeah. If you go to iTunes, search for James Whale Radio Show, click and subscribe. And why not subscribe? I think you should subscribe to our James Whale Radio Show YouTube channel. Actually, we have a spot for a sponsor on the James Whale Radio Show YouTube channel at the moment. If you would like to be the sponsor of our James Whale Radio Show YouTube channel, whether you have a small or a large business, I'm sure we can do a deal to suit you. Just get in touch with Rob at the usual address, James Whale Radio.
You do it then. I'll do it. I was going to do it, but, you know, I just...
All right. No, I don't. You do it. I don't want to step on your toes. You tell prospective sponsors for the James Whale Radio Show YouTube channel how they can get in touch with you.
Email jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
jameswellradio@email.com is exactly what I was going to say.
Well, you said it wrong. You said jameswellradio@email.com. It's gmail.com.
I know. I just got excited with my name. I shouldn't do that. But anyway, go and download all the shows just so we get higher up in the iTunes download chart.
Yep.
Isn't that how it works?
That's how it works.
Right, competition time. Let's do the competition. Last week, this is dead easy competition. You can all have a go at this. Maureen Painter. Hello, Maureen. Well done. She's won the competition. This week's competition, you will get a signed copy of my book. Not only can you get yourself a free audio version of the book, you can get a signed copy of Almost a Celebrity. You can get Parry Ray's EP. Now, I like Parry Ray. It's pretty good. Called 7 Days. And a copy of Gate 38. No, Gate 36 by Electropilot. You get all that stuff if you are the chosen one. The competition symbol. Share the link to this show on your Facebook page, and we will pick a winner from the share list. So all you need to do is share the link on your Facebook page, and we will pick a winner from the share list. Go to facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadio. Tell them what they can win.
They can win a Parry Ray EP, a copy of Gate 36 by Electropilot. That had the James Bond song we had last week in it. And and a copy of your amazing book in written format.
Oh, fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. Going back to talking about the census for a moment. Matt Davis says, no point in getting rid of the census. Now we've got total open borders. Oh, there's no point in having the census. Now we have total open borders. However, it was always wrong to force people to do it and a giant waste of money. And Ivor Williams says, good way of stopping future generations discovering just how bad immigration had become. So there we are. Some of your thoughts on scrapping the census, which is apparently going to happen. You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. You're listening to us on possibly coastradio.co.uk, MyPick TV, Sherbert Radio, TrentSound.com, and a myriad of other radio stations as well. We've just signed up Wigan FM. And if you want to have us on your radio station, just get in touch. Sex education. Apparently, Michael Gove doesn't think there ought to be any more sex education than there is in our schools, thinks it's adequate. But David Cameron doesn't. So the Minister of State for Education and the Prime Minister of our great nation are at loggerheads. But I wonder when people actually do think children should be introduced to the world of sex and what sort of age it should be. Do you want your 3, 4, 5-year-olds knowing about different sexualities? Do you want them knowing anything about sex at that age? Or do you think it is protective to them to be more aware? I don't know. I'm asking the question. I have no real thoughts on this at all. Now, Rob, you are a father of a daughter.
I am.
Tell me from your perspective.
I never
what age should children start being taught about sex?
12.
Well, 12 is quite old, and they'd probably be sniggering and talking about sex with their friends before that. Do you think? I mean, I'm thinking back to my own school days. I don't know about you. We never had any sex education. We just joked around and made it up, if you like, in the playground.
Well, that's how it's done in real life, isn't it?
Well, you know, you're a little younger than me. What about sex education when you were at school?
Well, I unfortunately missed out on it. I was in one school, and the next term they were going to do sex education, and then I moved to Wales, and they'd just done sex education the term before. So, you know.
No wonder you're like you are.
Yeah, missed out.
But as a parent, if you found that your daughter... I think it's different for fathers of girls, isn't it, really? I have granddaughters. And even at the age of 8 or 9, they're watching fairly raunchy videos of Miley Cyrus or whatever. And so one wonders whether or not they need to be told, hang on, you know, you're imitating this, but perhaps at the age of 8 or 9, you shouldn't be. The Prime Minister and the Minister of Education Mr. Gove, are kind of in different camps about this. I wonder what people generally think. And the reason why I bring it up is it's on the it's on the week, if you like, this is discussed, when the British Board of Film Censors are beginning to change their views on censorship.
What, we're going to have more explicit sex in films? Is that what they're thinking?
Well, no, we're going to, and I think this is quite right, you know, you get a very high rating for violence in movies. For sex in movies, and a fairly low rating for violence. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should have explicit pornography being shown to children at all, but I think we should be equally as upset about some of the very violent scenes young people can see in movies, as well as the sexual scenes, don't you?
I think some PG films give kids an insight into what happens in the bedroom, but I don't suppose they really give them an insight into the act of safe sex.
Well, that's an interesting point. I'd like people to Facebook us or email us their thoughts on this, and we'll talk about this on another programme. But one thing I must confess is that the censorship seems to be now very much people complain about the use of language. Not that I want to hear people swearing all over the place, but every now and then a swear word gets dropped in and people seem to become apoplectic about it. And so if the censorship decides that there aren't going to be any swear words in movies, aren't movies going to become very divorced from reality?
We live in a society, I suppose, that swearing is the norm. Place of work, out and about shopping.
Yeah, I think if you're in the playground, I think a lot of swearing goes on. But you need to know, as a child, when it is acceptable. You know, you can't use the sort of language you might use in school with your contemporaries in front of your parents or other adults. And you're going to be in real problem if you do. We all swear from time to time. And sometimes a swear word may slip out when it shouldn't. But I'm talking about the fact that even when that happens, people get absolutely beside themselves, don't they?
Mm, they do.
More. Some people get more concerned about that than signs of gratuitous violence in movies, which worries me.
Because they know the violence isn't real.
Yeah, but do they? What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So I'd like to know what sort of... I mean, lots of people listening probably think there shouldn't be any censorship, but I think there has to be a certain amount of censorship. Otherwise, goodness only knows what we're going to be hearing and seeing, don't you think?
I think trailers in cinemas is the biggest problem. You take your kids to go and see a movie that's a particular rating, and then they'll show you films that are in a couple of ratings above. But what they've cleverly done is put together a trailer that fits the rating that you're going to see, but it's to the max. So of course you're seeing lots of violence and lots of action and all the rest of it, and sometimes there's a theater full of little kids and they're bawling their eyes out.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it'd be interesting to find out what our listeners feel about it. So if they Facebook us or email us, we'll talk about it on the next show, shall we? How much censorship in movies, television and the like should there be? Right, let's finish off with this song. Now, just to explain, this the next song is an aid of Sign to Sing.
It is.
They're arranging a world record attempt on February the 5th for the most people singing and signing for the deaf on the same day. Not like the guy at the Nelson Mandela Memorial, hopefully.
Didn't see it. What happened?
Well, you did. How can you live such a closet? I mean, I know you live in North Wales, but don't you ever read the newspapers or listen to news bulletins?
Not really, no.
You don't?
No. The only way I know what's going on in the world is what you tell me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is always amazes me. He is really, he's not thick, but he's this closeted. He lives in a very remote area. And they don't get the post. I'm amazed that we have him as a radio producer because he doesn't know what's going on. Look, when they all got up at the Nelson Mandela Memorial thing, they had a bloke there doing signing. And at the end, it was discovered that he was just making silly signs with his hands. He wasn't saying anything. It's not funny. I mean, he was standing, this guy, with no reason to be there, was standing next to dignitaries from all over the world, including Barack Obama. They had not checked out who this little chap, little round chubby chap, standing next to Barack Obama, doing all this stuff with his hands. But he was just doing whatever you and I would do.
I don't think he was doing what I'd do.
But apparently he'd had a nervous breakdown. That's why I did it. Anyway, I kind of wish I hadn't mentioned that with this. But no, anyway, this is a world attempt on February the 5th for the most people singing and signing on the same day. So far, more than 150,000 people are signed up. 800 schools, 16,000 rock choir members, plus one of the military wives' choirs. Because, surprise, surprise, there are more than one. For more information or to take part, visit sign2sing.org.uk. Anyway, their track is called As One.
Take a breath and spread your wings. Tiny baby steps towards the edge. Your journey now begins. Hold on tightly to the dreams out on the wind. Don't be scared to jump into the clouds. The sun will shine within your dreaming of a new horizon. Your soul. Choices, your future's in your hand. Our voice, our song, our forever has begun. All hearts, all hands, all together as one. Have to cry no more. Don't be frightened of the shadows as they lead you to the door. Stand on your tiptoes, make a run towards the light. You'll be sure to grow with every step if you try with all your might. You're dreaming of a new horizon, your soul.
So there we are. That was a track called As One. And if you want to take part on February the 5th of the world record attempt at signing and singing, most people signing and singing, just visit signtosing.org.uk and you can help them out as well. And if you want to get a free copy, an absolutely free copy of my book in audio version, you can download the audio version totally for free. Visit the website jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click on the Audible link, and the rest will become obvious. So, in the meantime, until next week, take care of yourselves, enjoy radio wherever you are, and goodbye from Rob.
What?
Oh, for goodness sake, just say goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you next time.
James Whale!
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.